He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, the second trading day of 2021. This is the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Boy, I don't know what lit this market on fire all of a sudden. It kind of came out of nowhere, but we'll take it because we are in the market, and you've got the Dow now up 103 points. It held that 30,000 level yesterday. It's at 30,310 right now. The NASDAQ really took off. Right after the open, the NASDAQ is now up 87 points to 12,788. Our portfolios have just zoomed higher here since the open. Just 37 minutes ago, the S&P is up 16 points, 3,716. The small caps are down, however. This is the second straight day. Could that small cap rally be coming to a close? We've had very many short-lived small cap rallies over the last few years, and they seem to all peter out. This one could be petering out also right at that 2000 level. Now it's at 1967, the Russell 2K. Crude oil continues to rally. Well, you know what? That makes sense. Oil prices probably will be heading higher with more regulations and less fracking and whatnot on U.S. oil. Oil is up $1.74 to $49.36. Over at the precious metals markets, boy, silver was on fire yesterday. So were the gold stocks. They're quiet today. The metals are. I haven't had a chance to look at the stocks yet. Basically flat after a big day yesterday. 10-year yield 0.94, and the Bitcoin market, it's down today. Can you believe that? Bitcoin finally down $44 at $32,282. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had quite a sell-off in the market yesterday, day one, trading day one of the 2021 trading year. Well, my final analysis, I keep a journal every day of my observations, and my main observations yesterday were, one, the Dow held 30,000. So even though there was a sell-off in the Dow and the NASDAQ, the Dow did hold 30,000. I think maybe I can give my own example here. I didn't really want to sell anything late in December that had huge gains because I would incur capital gains, events, which you'd have to report on your income taxes in April. So I prefer to do my selling of big gainers that I want to take my profits in. I'd prefer to do it the first part of January. And then you've got 16 months till you got to worry about those gains. So I think there was some of that yesterday in the market also. Now, if a market is bad, you get just the opposite. If 2020 would have been a terrible year in the market, you would have had a lot of tax selling late in December of people with losses, and then probably some tax selling of profits, too, in late the year. But this last year was a bull market, so you have just the opposite. Yeah, you had a little bit of selling late in the year of losers, but there weren't that many losers last year. And I think people waited until yesterday and probably more this week to sell some of those huge gainers from 2020. The NASDAQ held 12,500 yesterday. That was another observation I made. The S&P 500 was struggling all day with 3,700. In the sectors, boy, the semiconductor stocks, and they're They're hot again today. The chip sector was just on fire yesterday. The Chinese solar stock, or the Chinese solar and the Chinese electrical vehicle stocks were on fire. We had reports from three or four of the biggest EV makers, the Teslas of China. Let's not forget them. Everybody is all enamored with Tesla and the glamour stock of 2020. Let's not forget that China's got a lot of young electric vehicle companies that are in the much earlier stages than Tesla currently is. So good day for the chip stocks yesterday. Where did I see the weakness yesterday? Big tech. I don't know why, but Amazon got hit hard yesterday. Facebook was hit hard. Google didn't look very good. Apple was hit hard. Now, one day, Netflix was hit hard. One day does not a new trend make. But those are my observations from yesterday. The weakest areas of the market were big tech, and I'd also say biotech. Biotech, very weak. Now, today, there's a reversal by the New York Stock Exchange of delisting. Yesterday, they announced, of course, it was Trump's executive order to delist three Chinese financial stocks. Today, the New York Stock Exchange reversed that, and they're not going to do it, and that has set a fire underneath Chinese stocks. Our PDD, Pinduoduo, is a huge winner for us today, and we have a lot of other winners that are driving our portfolios higher today. Another observation I made about yesterday's trading, silver and gold. Big, big movers. I think, I don't know, we haven't had inflation for 40 years. We're always talking about it. Inflation's rearing its ugly head. Well, there's some thought this year with we start the year off with massive debt. And if you listen to the plans by Joe Biden, there's going to be more debt. There's going to be a lot of spending. He was yesterday saying that the $600 checks are just a down payment on the next round of what's coming. And then you add in the climate change money and other monies, infrastructure money. I could see another $5 or $6 trillion being added to the deficit next year. Well, at some point, you're going to get some inflation, and we're also seeing the dollar starting to fall. So at least yesterday, the market saw inflation coming. That was evident in the gold and silver stocks. Another observation I made yesterday, Boeing looked horrible. And, of course, it is a big component of the Dow. It is sitting now on its 50-day moving average. It's bouncing off that, but it was down 5.4% yesterday after a Bernstein downgrade. They downgraded the shares to underperform, and I think another big factor in that big Dow sell-off yesterday was Boeing, which led the Dow lower. Let's see. Of course, I'd mentioned the Chinese stocks, Li, Auto, LI, NIO, NIO, XPeng, XPEV. Boyd had a huge day. Boy, did Boyd have a huge day. It was up 6.4%, BYDDF. Li was up 13% yesterday, but that was basically tied to expectations on China demand and the numbers that came out with huge growth in sales coming from those companies. What did the international markets do overnight? Pretty quiet. You know, you've got a total shutdown again in Germany. It looks like 30 days. You're not going to be able to come out of your house in Germany or whatever that restriction is. It's heavy. And in the UK, another total restriction. That weighed heavily on the market yesterday. But I guess today, not so much, all right? And those shutdowns, of course, and COVID raising its ugly head again. You've got the new mutated variety here in the U.S., both on the East Coast and on the West Coast, New York and Washington, and I'm sure it will start showing up elsewhere. That also had the market worried yesterday. but today not so much. Well, what do we have to worry about today? Oh, well, not all that much. Just a big election there in Georgia that will determine the Senate, which way the Senate goes. If the Republicans lose both seats, Democrats will have control of the Senate and the House and the presidency in 2021. And if the Republicans can win one of those seats, then they will maintain control of the Senate. What does that mean for the market? Well, it means a lot. It has a lot of implications for the market. So that's another thing the market is definitely watching today. I got a lot of new stocks to talk about today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow is down or up just 36 right now, 30,258. NASDAQ, however, up 57. NASDAQ having a very good day. But without question, the stars of the day so far, the Chinese stocks. The New York Stock Exchange says it no longer plans to delist China's big three telecom. I thought it was there was a bank in there, too. I guess not. It was the telecom companies, which also are involved with China's military, according to intelligence, lifting shares of China Telecom. Yeah, there was a telecom. China Mobile and China Unicom, big gains in Hong Kong trading. Well, it's spreading much further than just these telcos because I'm seeing big gains in Pinduo, Data, JD.com. I haven't checked on Alibaba yet, which we do not own. Alibaba's even seeing a big gain today, up 3.3%. The New York Stock Exchange had planned to drop the listings to comply with an executive order signed by President Trump in November. That order sought to bar U.S. companies and individuals from investing in firms that allegedly aided the Chinese military. China's largest oil company, CEO, that's CNOOC, also has been considered at risk since it is on the U.S. Department of Defense list of companies it says are owned or controlled by the Chinese military. So this reversal by the New York Stock Exchange is having a big impact on the market today. All right, the Georgia elections. Both contests are very tight, and the results may not be immediately known. Well, you know, this could go on for weeks, which could lead to a repeat of the chaotic vote recounts following the U.S. presidential election in November. And, of course, more drama will ensue on Wednesday, tomorrow, as the House and Senate formalize Biden's Electoral College win. A group of at least 12 Republicans or senators are objecting to the certification. All right, well, I think there was some market sell-off yesterday about the uncertainty over the balance of the Senate. A blue wave would give the Democrats a slim Senate margin. Well, it would make it 50-50. And Kamala Harris, as vice president, would then cast the deciding vote. I think she'll vote with the Democrats. Meaning the Democratic proposals. Now, here's what this could mean for the market. To me, this is the biggest impact or the biggest factor that could impact the market next year, this year and next year, rewriting the tax code, especially as it relates to corporate taxes, okay? As you know, President Trump, one of his big things was to lower the corporate tax rate from 28 to 20, and he used the reasoning that we weren't competitive on the world scale of corporate taxes, and he did rewrite that corporate tax code, bringing the tax code rate down. And when it happened, there wasn't really any macro analysis going on at the time about what impact that would have on S&P 500 earnings, which are after-tax earnings. So I just got my spreadsheet out. I got a sharp pencil. I got some graph paper. Rolled up my sleeves and did the math myself on what I thought the tax cut would do to S&P 500 earnings. And I came to the conclusion that it would add 20% to those S&P 500 earnings, which it did in 2019. Even though the corporate tax went down in 2018, the impact wasn't felt until 2019 because the year 2018 was the year of tariffs, the tariff war. Finally, when the tariff war kind of a truce was declared, that tax cut was felt in 2019 with a huge year in the market, and it extended into 2020. Well, it just makes logic. I haven't done the math yet, but if you take the tax rate back up to 28%, I would expect a 20% hit to earnings. So if you just do the math, the earnings for this year, the estimates are right around $165 per share, something like that. In fact, this year we'll see a return to growth of earnings in the S&P 500 after last year's big drop. That was the first drop in 12 years. And now we're going to go get back on the growth track unless we get that tax hike, taking the corporate tax rate back up to 28%. If you take 20% out of $165 in earnings, you get $132, which would be about the same as last year. And I think you would see a shrinkage of the multiple. The market has been trading at one of the highest multiples I've seen in my entire career. I have to go clear back to 2000. That had an even higher multiple. But we've been trading at 22 times forward earnings. The reasoning for that, the reason behind that, is the Fed keeping interest rates artificially low, which doesn't give you much, and doesn't give you many other choices to go and invest. And it's kept money in the stock market, and it's bloated that forward PE to 22. I think a tax hike might be a little bit of a wake-up call to the market. And let's say you get the PE to contract, more back in the 18 area, which would make more sense. Well, you do the math. 18 times $133, you're getting a market that would go down about 700 points from where it's at right now. That's the S&P 500, which is hovering around 3,700. You take 700 points out of that, and you're back to 3,000 on the S&P 500. Now, that's just math, okay? It's just math. It's the same math I used when the tax rates were cut, and I'm using the same math, the same logic, the same reasoning, and I do believe that you will see the corporate tax rate go up back up to 28%. So that has a major impact on my macro outlook going forward. I have two macro outlooks. I have a macro outlook without the tax hike, which I think is becoming less and less unlikely of that outlook coming to fore. I think instead you got to start looking at the macro outlook and factoring in a 20% rate hike from 20 to 28% rate hike in the corporate tax rate, which would then take 20% out of S&P 500 earnings. And you can go to my newsletter to see what that math looks like. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll talk about some individual companies when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour on this second trading day of 2021. The Dow up just 9 points. Looks like it's going to go negative here pretty soon. It's at 30,233. But who cares about the Dow anyways? It was only up 6% last year. I don't own one stock in the Dow. But it is the one that most people watch, okay? They all know where the Dow is at. The NASDAQ is up 61 points, 0.5%. It's doing quite well today. Thank you. Okay, sports betting. That continues to be a major theme here. It was a major theme in 2020. It looks like it's going to carry on in 2021, especially online sports betting. That seems to be, a sector that was boosted by COVID. There's a new player, and it's an old player, International Game Technology. I mean, their claim to fame was they've made most of the slot machines in the world, right? The spinning reel slot and also video gaming machines. Well, they're making a big move. They completed the final stage of a Nevada regulatory approval for Resort Wallet. It's a carded cashless module. Part of the award-winning IGT Advantage, it's a solution that ensures our customers can experience the increased liquidity. You know what? I don't think it's a good thing to give gamblers in Vegas increased liquidity. That means, well, when you're out of cash in your pocket, it's time to go home. No, not with a cashless, with a resort wallet. You can dig into all kinds of sources for cash and keep losing money. Well, anyways, keep your eye on IGT. They also have made a play. They have they got into the online gaming too. I can't think of the app or the service that they bought into, but IGT's kind of a revised stock here after, you know, their bricks and mortar business fell considerably. Now they're getting more into the technology side of gambling. Uber, a top pick at Needham in 2021. I don't know. You know, it seems to me that Uber relies a lot on travel, people traveling. I don't see that getting back to normal anytime soon. Uber's a $91 billion company. Some kid had an idea. It was a pretty good one. $91 billion later. You've got Uber getting a price target of $60 at Needham. Well, it's $52 right now, so I'm not getting too excited. I do not own Uber Duber. Micron gets a double upgrade to buy at Citigroup. You know, I've noticed a pretty nice move. Micron never has really met. Micron is very much a cyclical. It's very much a product of supply and demand. Micron is very much a commodity. They're storage chips. Well, and they've never really met my growth criteria. Micron, it's very hard for Micron to be a consistent growth company. I mean, it's like anything else. But having said that, they've done very well. The stock has done very well over the last 12 months. And the growth going forward per year, 12.3% over the next 5 years. And Micron's always traded at a very low multiple. Its forward PE is 10. Its growth rate going forward is 12.3. That makes for a very favorable PEG ratio of under 1. But that gives me a $125 target price, which is 70% higher than where it is now. I require 80%. Micron is currently ranked number 546. It just doesn't quite make the grade out of 5,609. But that's a really good chart on Micron, MU. There's also a dividend on Micron of, but no, there isn't. I thought there was. There's no dividend. This Boise, Idaho company gets upgraded to $100 price target. Citigroup is currently at 78. So if they're right, that could be pretty good. Last month, Wells Fargo named Micron a top pick for 2021. It's not on my list, but I'm throwing that out there. Okay, we've got a new player. I noticed those stocks kind of sold off yesterday, the charging stocks, Blink Charging, Switchback Energy, etc. Well, there's a new player in this, Ideanomics, which the symbol is IDYA. Where are they headquartered? They are, is it IDYA? Yeah, no, IDEX. IDEX, there's two stocks by that name. IDEX is a better symbol for that stock. It's having a decent little pop today as they are buying 100% of privately held wireless advanced electric vehicle or advanced vehicle electrification, which is another name for WAVE. That technology is called WAVE technology. WAVE is a provider of inductive charging solutions for medium and heavy duty electric vehicles. The company's customers include the largest EV bus system in the U.S., the Antelope Valley Transit Authority. I've been to Antelope Valley. Its partnerships include Kenworth, BYD, that's Boyd out of China, and Complete Coachworks. Well, wireless charging has been talked about for a long time. We're making advances in wireless charging. We'll see if it can hit the electric vehicle market. So far, stock making a little move higher. Okay, a company that I brought to your attention a while back, it was an IPO. It's getting an upgrade today from Bank of America. It's interesting in that they can do these drug clinical trials with virtual patients. Virtual patients. And that's Certara, C-E-R-T. They provide medicines to patients using biosimulation software and technology to transform drug discovery. Well, we'll see if it is a transformative company. We're always looking for disruptors. And, of course, one of the issues that slows down drug discovery, I mean, look at the vaccinations. They had to enroll 40,000 patients. Can it be done? Not virtually, but simulated on a computer with, I don't know, but we'll keep our eye on it. Bank of America likes this stock. I'm keeping my eye on it. All right, sometimes there's foreign stocks. EVOTF, EVOTF. I have a lot of people from around the world that listen to my show. This is a red-hot German biotech, EVOTF. They've received a $6 million payment from Bristol-Myers, and Bristol-Myers likes the progress they're making on neurodegenerative diseases. So keep your eye on that. And these, you know, a lot of these foreign stocks are in my app, Best Stocks Now. They trade on the pink sheets. Okay, here's a top pick for 2021 from one of my competitors at Seeking Alpha, Chris DeMuth. I looked him up. He's ranked like number 268 overall on Seeking Alpha. Never mind, I'm 167 or something like that. I'm ranked higher than he is, but he calls his top pick for 2021 SSSS. That should be an easy symbol to remember. It's a publicly traded venture capital fund. Kind of like That's what SoftBank is. So SSSS, Suro Capital, S-U-R-O. Keep your eye on that. That is a top pick from one of the top-ranked writers at Seeking Alpha, but I'm ranked higher. Hydro Farm, this is one I brought to your attention a while back. Soars, after landing bull ratings across Wall Street, HYFM. I saw the CEO of this company on not too long ago. I was very impressed. He thinks the future is hydro farming, vertical farming. This is a pure play in hydroponics. Well, it doesn't take as much land, does it, to grow in hydroponics. It takes a lot of water. We now have a publicly traded company, HYFM, that plans to build hydro farms all across America. Recent IPO, headquartered in Petaluma, California, the farming capital of America, right? I thought it would be like Ames, Iowa or something. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And the Dow has gone just slightly positive. It's been all over the place here today. Right now it's down 10, 30,213. NASDAQ is very steady, however, up about 60 points right now. Well, who's the biggest chip maker in the world? That's a foundry. Who has the biggest foundry, the biggest share of the foundry business? I'm going to feature a stock today that is currently ranked number 5 out of 5,609 different securities in our BestStocksNowApp.com database. 1 year ago, it was ranked number 266. Well, how's it done over the last 12 months? The stock over the last 12 months is up 86%. The stock was ranked 3 months ago, number 63. It's up 34% over the last 3 months. It continues to deliver big alpha. That's performance over the S&P 500. In fact, Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, this is no small stock. They have 54% of the foundry business in 2021. Second place is Samsung at 18%. And then United Microelectronics, UMC, another Taiwan foundry, has 7%. And then SMIC, which is out of China, that's the one that was recently banned by the U.S. government doing business with them, they have 4%. So Taiwan Semiconductor dominates right now the foundry business. From a market cap point of view, it's $500 billion, more than that. It's $592 billion, $592 billion. It's a mega cap. It also pays a dividend yield. I own it in my dividend and growth portfolio and my growth portfolio. Not only is it a great growth stock, it also pays a dividend. Dividend yield is 1.2%. Now, there's a little added risk. There's political risk, obviously, with Taiwan Semiconductor. Who knows, you know, but China has been rattling its saber at Taiwan for many years now. Will they ever take over and invade Taiwan? Nobody knows. And at the same time, you've got the U.S., which is a strong ally of Taiwan, saying, don't you dare. But that does add a level of political risk to the owning stocks in Taiwan. Having said that, it's one of our largest positions. And, yes, I do watch the news out of Taiwan constantly and out of China, obviously, and other places around the world. That's part of my job as a money manager and being vigilant for you. Taiwan currently ranked number 5 overall. From a valuation point of view, I think it's growth at a fairly reasonable price. The forward P.E. ratio, well, it's 31, but this is a company that's growing, expected to grow by 21% per year. So that makes for a PEG ratio of 1.45. But using my proprietary formula for developing five-year target prices, I have a target price of $223 on TSM. Stock is currently trading at 114, so it easily meets my 80% or more upside potential over the next 5 years. And on the momentum side of the ledger, which is also a big part of my proprietary formula, it gets a performance grade of A. Now, this is against all the other 5,600 securities, which include ETFs, mutual funds, stocks, and my database. This is just based on performance. I grade on a scale, right? What do you call that? The bell curve? It's been so long since I've taken a test in school. I get a grade on the curve. That's performance grade of A, momentum grade of A plus, meaning in the shorter term here, well, the stock is breaking out to new all-time highs. That's about as pretty of a chart as you can see in the entire market. No wonder it's one of our biggest positions at Gunderson Capital Management. That's how I apply my, you know, I've just over the 23 years in the business, I've seen the momentum. I've seen the momentum investors come and go. They red hot hand for a while until they get wiped out by valuation wave. A wave of valuation comes through the market. The market wakes up to the big V every once in a while, and it can be ugly. And then on the other hand, the value investors can sit for years waiting for intrinsic value to be realized, and they're sitting in value traps. That's why I like to combine the two. It's been a very powerful combination for me. Does it produce results? That's the bottom line. Well, you know what? You get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. I put it out every week. Try out my app, BestStocksNowApp.com. See if it doesn't point you like a compass in the right direction, in the right areas of the market. I do expect some rotation, some sector rotation. You know, the electrical vehicle charging stocks can't be the leading sector forever. The Bitcoin mining stocks can't be the leading sector forever. You're going to see some sector rotation here in 2021. And that's the beauty of a relative ranking system. It's going to pick up very early on where the action is leaving and where the action is going. This is very, very critical for me to be in the best asset classes at the right time, the best indexes at the right time, the best sectors at the right time, and ultimately the very best stocks at the right time. I call it Best Stocks Now, the name of the show, the newsletter, the app, and the portfolios that I manage. If you'd like to talk to us, make an appointment. Talk to one of my advisors here. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Or you can just kind of ease into it all by taking a peek at what we do through our newsletter that I produce every single week of my life. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. Gunderson Capital, that's a good New Year's resolution for you. Get back on the treadmill. Get back on that exercise cycle. Cut down on the calories. Get some sun. And get some Gunderson in 2021. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.